Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Tonight, grab a seat, get your Bible out, and find the book of Leviticus. Okay, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. We're going to launch from there today, and we're going to cover a lot of ground throughout the Bible. I wanted to start with just a little something here, and this is kind of a neat thing. A friend of mine gave this to me, and I'm looking to see if he's here. Okay, Doug, if you're here, don't yell out what this is. Okay, anybody know what this is? Geode? Rock? Who's brave enough to come touch it? Come on up here. No? Okay, you want to come on up and touch it? All right. It's pretty heavy. Okay. He actually said that he got this out of the ground. He pulled it up out of the ground at Trona. All right, hold on. Let me get you the microphone here. All right. This is my friend Yvonne. Hi. I didn't recognize you for a second there. All right. Okay, so go ahead and hold that. Go ahead. Is it heavy?
Oh, my goodness, no.
No? Not that heavy? All right. Okay, what do you notice about it?
It has straight edges.
Straight edges. Okay.
It's lumpy. And lumpy. Hard. Lots
All right.
of colors. Sparkly.
Sparkly. All right. What do you think it is?
I think it's a rock.
It's a rock. Okay. What type? Do you know?
A crystal.
A crystal? Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a type of crystal. Yeah. Yeah. You can classify. You know what it is? It's salt.
I taste it.
Taste your fingers. Taste your fingers.
Oh.
Yeah. It's salt, right? Okay. Cool. Thank you, Yvonne. Everybody give her a hand. Appreciate you being brave there. Yeah, I preached a message and talked about the salt, and he brought this to me. He said, "I hope you think this is as cool as I do." And actually, I do. I've got this in my office. And he said, "You know, all I had to do was put some mineral oil on it to keep it nice and shiny." But I kind of like the saltiness, and you know, I like being able to taste it. So don't lick this after church, please. I'd like to keep it. But anyways, tonight I want to talk to you about something called the covenant of salt. Find it in your Bible. You're there in Leviticus chapter 2, verse number 13. Okay, we're going to take a look at that. We see this term in the book of Numbers, as well as in 2 Chronicles, called the covenant of salt. God says that the heave offerings and the offerings that were given to the children of Israel were with a covenant of salt. Also, when talking about King David, he said that I gave King David a kingdom according to a covenant of salt. Now, that covenant is spoken of both of these terms as a covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is simply this. It's a binding agreement. It's the closest, most solemn, and sacred of all contracts. We would think of covenants today as legal documents. You think about when you buy a house and they break out that brick of documents that you have to sign in triplicate 1,000 times, and you have to initial 10,000 times, and then you have to prick your finger and give some blood at the end, right? And so we would understand that as a covenant as well when you're buying a car and they roll out the mile-long document. You know, that is a covenant that you agree to purchase the car for a certain price. You're going to pay a certain amount every month, and if you don't, it goes back to the bank, right? Now, the best example that we could see of a covenant in today's terminology would be that of marriage. Two people, right, from different backgrounds coming together, and now there is an agreement between them. They're saying, "I'm giving my entire life to you." Why? Because I love you. And therefore, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But not only that, everything that I have is now yours, and everything that you have is now mine, okay? And what do? They have a ceremony. They speak a vow. They have oaths that they say, right? And then afterwards, they celebrate with a memorial meal. They have gifts that they exchange to one another. There's a giving of oneself to each other in the consummation, okay? And so we see all of that as covenant terminology. Did you know that when you gave your heart to the Lord, that it was a covenant? If you said yes to Jesus, there was a binding agreement. There was a contract signed in heaven, sealed with the blood of Jesus now. And now there's an agreement that God says that because of what Jesus did on the cross, if you agree to the terms of the covenant, giving God all of your heart and all of your life, and now you are born again, right? God makes you brand new because you believed in God's terms. You said yes to Jesus. Now God comes and you are born again, and now you're not your own. You were bought with a price. There is a contract that was signed by the blood of Jesus, and now it's sealed with the Holy Spirit wrapped around you. And God gives you gifts. He gives you His Spirit. He gives you His power. He gave gifts unto men. And there's a celebration going on in heaven every time somebody gives their heart to Jesus. But God is saying that there is a covenant of salt. You say, well, what does that mean? We're going to find out what that means. Leviticus chapter 2, verse number 13 says this. I got salty taste in my mouth now. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, and every offering, everybody say offering. Of your grain offering, you shall season with what? Salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Now, I want you to notice something. He says, I don't want you to leave the salt out. You got to keep it in there. Every offering of your grain offering, you shall season with salt. Now, the grain offering also in the Old King James is called the meat offering. Really, what they're talking about in meat was to have meat with somebody. You were going to have meal with somebody. You were going to sit down and fellowship. We understand this in the New Covenant terminology when we have communion, right? There's, of course, the cup of the New Covenant in his blood, right? But also we have the what? We have the bread, right? And this was a picture in the Old Covenant of communion, of that sharing a meal, that fellowship that we have with God, that now when we connect with God, we connect with him on this level of intimacy. See, when you sit down to share a meal with somebody, what happens? Fellowship, right? Now there's you're talking. You're enjoying a meal. There's people that are called foodies nowadays. You heard of the foodies, right? And their whole life is spent going out and trying new foods and tasting new things, you know? And they actually have a group of people. There's food blogs. There's a food network on television. There's all sorts of stuff surrounding food. Why? Because it brings us into communion with one another. It brings us into community. And when you share a meal with somebody, now it's like you're sharing a part of your lives. See, whenever you have friends that are close, what do? They go to each other's houses and they eat, right? Or they're double dating. What are you going to do on a double date? Well, we're going to go eat, right? Why? You got to eat, you know? But also, there's something that happens at the table when you start breaking bread together. This offering signified our closeness, our fellowship with God. And he says, I want you to season it with salt. Don't just bring bread to God. Don't just bring the meal to God. You got to season it with some salt. What else did he say? He says, you shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking in your grain offering. Tonight, maybe you came into this place and you said, something's lacking in my relationship with God. Something's lacking in my life. I don't know what it is. I've been doing this Christianity thing for a while. And you know what? When I started, it seemed like everything was amazing. It seemed like electricity. It seemed like I just had things going on. Anybody ever feel that way? You know, you started out and it was like this bang. Everything was new. Everything was crazy. You were learning so much. And all of a sudden, you kind of hit a plateau in your walk with God. And there's something lacking. Maybe tonight, I could submit it to you that maybe what's lacking is salt. And he says, with all your offerings, you shall offer salt. If you're going to bring something to the Lord, if you're going to do something with God, if you're going to live this life, don't live it without salt. Because there's power in it. See, this covenant of salt spoke of an agreement that was now sprinkled with salt. See, the agreement by itself would have been enough. It's the closest, most enduring, solemn, sacred of all contracts. It's binding. It's an agreement. God is into it. But God says, I don't want you to leave out the salt in your offerings. I don't want to have it lacking. See, with David, it was a covenant of salt. What does that mean? That meant that it was enduring, right? That meant that it was incorruptible if it had salt with it. Same thing with the offerings that the children of Israel brought to God. It was now a covenant of salt. It was enduring. It was supposed to be perpetuating. That means going on and on and on and on. And it was incorruptible. We'll talk about that tonight as we go on. See, don't allow salt to be missing from your life. It should be in every area of your life. We should have salt, that seasoning of life. It should be all over the place. We should be the saltiest people on the planet. Are you listening tonight? Okay, thanks. A couple of salty dogs out there. All right, it's good. So tonight, what power is there in the covenant of salt? If we're going to live this life, if we're going to figure out what this is all about and maybe get into some practical things for our lives, what power is there? See, it's one thing to say salt, and you could go out of this place and be totally confused and say, Pastor Dan is crazy talking about salt. But there is power in a covenant or an agreement that's seasoned with salt. A couple of things that I want to talk about that all start with the letter P, okay? First one is this. What power is there in the covenant of salt? Number one is purifying. Purifying. Salt is a cleansing agent. You ever poured salt in a wound? What happened? Youch, right? That's where we get the statement like pouring salt on a wound. You know, it's almost like a bad situation went worse. But can I tell you something? Salt actually is a purifying agent. Now, I'm not saying to pour salt on your wounds, okay? You might want to go and get something a little bit more gentle, rinse it with water, you know, cleanse it with soap or something like that. But if you look in medical science today, and my doctor friends on the front row, they use salt in a lot of the new medications. They use it, right, saline is a type of salt, right? That sort of a thing. And they use that for nasal rinses and different things like that. Is that true? Or am I just talking the wrong things here? No, we're good. Okay. So my doctor friends are confirming it over there. All right. Thanks for not making me look foolish up here. Appreciate that. But even if it stings, it's still making things better. Sometimes the pain helps us to know that it's working. Are you listening tonight? And salt is that purifying agent. And even though it may heighten the sense, almost like when you burn your tongue and then you eat a jalapeno or something like that, same thing with a wound. It's going to hurt, and then you pour salt in it, it's going to hurt even worse because the pain receptors are already aware. But that cleansing power of salt, it can actually purify. That's why they have the saline pools now. That's why they have saline solution. You can clean your eyes with it. You clean your nose with it because it's a purifying thing. Interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 2. Turn there with me. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And I want to take a look at verse number 19 through verse number 21. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Starting in verse number 19, we find the prophet Elisha. Elisha is the one who took on the mantle of Elijah, right? So Elisha is coming along, and he's starting his ministry. In verse number 19, it says this. It says, the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant. Everybody say pleasant. Life is good, right? The city itself is pleasant, as my Lord sees. But the water is bad, and the ground barren. Now, how many of you know a pleasant city with bad water and barren ground is not a good combination, right? That city's not going to be pleasant for long because somebody's going to say, I'm hungry. Someone's going to say, I'm thirsty. So even though the city may be pretty, it may be situated up on a hill, it may have a great view, it might be very clean, and the streets and all that kind of stuff might be good, and you know, the infrastructure and all that may have great organization, a great government, all that going on for it, and yet, if you've got bad water and you've got bad ground that's not producing anything, you might as well get up and go to the worst city with good water and good ground. Are you hearing me? Why? Because you're going to die sitting there. Oh, it's a pleasant city, but man, I'm hungry. Well, this place is great, except that I'm going to die of thirst in the next 2 days. See? So they said, the city's pleasant, but the water's bad and the ground is barren. Verse 20. And he said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Now, I got to be honest with you. I have read this story for years. And every time I read this throughout the years, I would say, I don't understand what is going on. Why, when they start talking about the water and they start talking about the land, does he say, bring me a new bowl with salt in it? Look at what he does. Verse number 21, then he went out to the source of the water and cast the salt there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. Now, let me just make sure that you understand what I'm going to say before I say it, okay? The salt in itself, even though it has a purifying value, just casting salt into water is not going to do anything but make the water a little bit salty. Okay? It's not the salt in this story that made the difference. It's the word of the Lord that made the difference. Hello? Okay, so when I'm talking about salt, I want you to realize that we are using it as an example of things that take place in our life. That's why the covenant is of salt, not physical salt that we can touch with our hands, but the covenant is seasoned with the word of God, with the truth of God's word. So he says, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. In other words, that salt was a symbol of the purifying value of the word of God coming in. See, the city may be pleasant, but if there's no water and there's no food, you're going to die. And yet man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And therefore God says, whatever I speak, whatever I say, bring that into your life. Season your life with that salt. Allow it to come on the inside of you and purify you. Allow it to get in you and through you. And therefore, when your life has that value in it, it will purify and cleanse. Sometimes it's going to rub you the wrong way. Sometimes when you hear the word of God, you ever had this happen? You come into church? I've had people meet me at the back door. Pastor Dan, you took me out behind the woodshed this morning. And I said, what did I do? I just preached the word. And they said, exactly. Man, God just got my number. You must have been in the car with us on the way to church because you were talking about me today. Anybody other than Pastor Dan ever had that happen, right? It's like you came to church and you said, the preacher has my house bugged. He was talking about stuff that we were saying in whispers in the inner chambers, and yet here he is airing my dirty laundry out in front of everybody. What's going on? I'm going to some other church. And yet, what is God saying? The word of God is that salt that he pours into the wound, that even though it might hurt, even though it might rub you the wrong way, even though it might make it look like you just made a bad situation worse, it's purifying, it's cleansing, it's getting rid of the infection, it's taking away those things that would harm you. You will no longer be barren, nor will you be unfruitful. The word of the Lord stands forever. Hallelujah. So good. So cool. See, it has a purifying value. To illustrate this, I'm rolling with illustrations. Who has a wound they'd like me to pour some salt in? I'm just kidding. See, when you get God's covenant promise, do you know every word of God is a covenant? See, sometimes we don't realize God is speaking covenant, and yet he is. Remember when he said, let there be light? Remember when he formed the earth, right? He spoke the planets into existence. Remember when he created two lights, one to govern the night and one to govern the day? You know, later on you find in the book of Jeremiah, he says, if you can break my covenant with the sun and the moon. I'm sorry, when was that, God? I don't remember you making a covenant with the sun and the moon. Oh yeah, when he spoke into existence, that was covenant. And he says, now if you can break my covenant. In the same way, every word from God stands true. Why? Because God cannot lie. Therefore, when God speaks something, it is as good as a covenant. It's binding. God is bound by his word. Now, some of you guys are excited about that and happy about that, but some of you guys don't know what that means. That means that when God says he's going to bless you, hello, he has to bless you. If God says he's going to save you and he's able to keep your soul from hell, he has to save you. That means that if God says he's going to deliver you, he has to deliver you. But see, you say, well, then, Pastor, why am I not blessed? Pastor, why don't I feel saved? Pastor, why haven't I been delivered yet? Here's why, because you need to bring that salt into your life. It's a covenant of salt. You need to get a hold of the covenant promises of God and put them in your life. You say, how do I do that? Here's how you do it. You speak it. You believe it. You declare it. You talk about it with your wife. You talk about it with your children. You tell your neighbors, your coworkers, your relatives about it. You let people think you're crazy, but yet God has to look after his word. And therefore, when you speak it, when you declare it, when you believe it, when it goes forth from your mouth, when you say, God, this is a promise from you. I'm standing on the word of God. I don't know how. I don't know when, I don't know why, but God, I just know it's coming. God has to perform his word. See, barrenness comes from badness. Are you listening? You say, I'm unfruitful in life. Maybe you've been bad. Maybe it's time to put salt and allow it to purify you from that badness. What does that mean? Clean up the act. Allow the word of God to get on the inside of you, not just behavior modification, but a heart transformation where I no longer want to do that old stuff. Why? Because I'm being cleansed by the word. I no longer look at that stuff. Why? Because I made a covenant with my eyes not to look on any young maiden. I no longer say those things. Why? Because every word that comes out of God's mouth is a covenant. Therefore, I'm going to be a man or a woman of my word. And my yes will be yes. My no will be no. I'm going to put away lying like the word of God says. I'm no longer going to do that. See, and it's a process, believe me. I mess up all the time, okay? Let's just be honest and transparent in this place. I'm not perfected. I have not arrived. And yet, I am speaking the word of God, and I'm going from one glory, that old glory, I'm that old man, to a new glory, to the glory of God. I'm going from strength to strength, from faith to faith. I'm going on, and I'm going up. Why? Because of the power of the word of God. We're all in this together. We can do this. See, barrenness comes from badness, but purity brings fruitfulness. See, when you've been cleansed of that old man, When the Word of God gets on the inside of you, there's no room for darkness any longer. See, when the light of God's Word gets on the inside, now there can't be any more darkness. Are you listening? And out of that pure heart, out of that purity, comes fruitfulness. God will bring forth the things that you're believing for in life. So, what is the power? What power is there in the covenant of salt? Number one is purifying. Number two is this, preserving. Preserving. Maybe you know this, but salt is a preservative, right? You can use it to preserve items. They used to use it on meats, right? They'd be taking travels of a long distance. They'd dry out meats, and they would put salt on it. In fact, who didn't have dinner on their way here tonight? Okay, Laura, you didn't? Do you like beef jerky? John says yes. What say you? Yes? Come here, Laura. Come on. Laura works with our Kids Rock, the Children's Learning Center. She is absolutely wonderful. Come on up. Come on up here. Here, let me get you the mic. Okay, get up in the light here. All right, we'll give you the mic here too. Okay, this is Jack Link's premium cuts. Do you like teriyaki? Okay, teriyaki. Anybody else like teriyaki? You might want to ask Laura if she'll share afterwards. Now, I want you to know something. Okay, Ritz crackers have roughly 210 milligrams of sodium in them.
Okay.
Okay. Sun chips, 250, 260, somewhere around there, okay? That's pretty salty snacks, right? You know how much salt? Beef jerky, can you read that right there? How much does that say? Sodium? Need your big glasses.
Oh, gosh, is it 750?
750
wow.
Milligrams. Now, Laura, you didn't have dinner because you were working, so would you like? Here, I'll take the mic. You go ahead.
Just a little because
that
has so much salt.
Just a little because that. No, salt. I tell you what, here, take this back to your seat. You can eat that because you didn't have dinner, and share with John, okay? Just one piece for John, though, because he had dinner, I think, all right? Love you, Laura. Thank you for that. 750 milligrams of sodium in Jack Link's beef jerky. Hallelujah. See, that's a preservative. What's it doing? They dried it out, and now that salt is keeping it from going bad. You're there in 2 Kings still? 2 Kings chapter 2? Take a look at the next verse, verse number 22. Take a look at what it says, right? He gets the new bowl. He gets the salt in it. He pours it into the waters. He says, thus saith the Lord, from now on this water will no longer be bad, nor the land be barren, right? Okay, verse number 22. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elijah, which he spoke. Look at that. What's he saying? He's saying that the word of the Lord preserved that water to the day of its writing. And can I tell you something? I believe that if we knew where this was, if we could go back and we could find that place, the water would still be good and the land would still be fruitful according to the word of the Lord. Why? Because the word of the Lord stands forever. You know, the word of God will preserve your life. It will keep you from stumbling. It will keep you from sin. It will keep you from peril. It will keep you from famine. It will keep you from the sword. It will keep the devil out of your life. It will keep you strong. It will keep you healthy. It will keep you vibrant. It will keep you youthful. It will keep you sharp. It will keep you mentally able. It will keep you focused. See, the word of God is a preservative. As you season your life with the salt of God's word, as you get the promises of God and that covenant in your life, and you declare the word of God, it will preserve you. 1,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near your dwelling. Why? Because you are in covenant with Almighty God. You rest under the shadow of the Almighty. You dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Why? Because you are in that covenant of salt. You remember Abraham? Genesis chapter 18. You don't have to turn there, but you remember Abraham, right? Talking to God. They just had a covenant meal. Okay? Now, after they have the covenant meal, God's about ready to go off, and he says, basically, do the two angels with her. Hey, shouldn't I tell Abraham what we're about to go do? You know, he's my friend, so I'm paraphrasing now, right? He says, my friend, shouldn't I tell Abraham? She comes back and he says, I'm about ready to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Judgment is coming on them. Fire is going to rain down from heaven and destroy the cities. Now, Abraham knows his nephew's down there and his family is down there. So what does he do? He says, Lord, I just got to speak up here. I'm so sorry, but God, would you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? Far be it from you. You're God, and you're good. You wouldn't do that, God. So if there was 50 people there, would you destroy the whole city if there were 50 righteous? God says, no, I wouldn't destroy the city if there was 50 righteous there. He says, okay, God, but, you know, I just in case, you know, what about if there was 5 less? God says, I won't destroy it for 45. Abraham talks him all the way down to 10. God, what if there's 10? God, I know I'm just a man. I'm just dust. I'm not worthy. Don't be angry with me. But God, what if there's 10? God says, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy the land. Now, we know the story. There wasn't 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Because the judgment came. An angel had to grab Lot by the hand and pull him out. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. Because she turned back. And she was forever preserved in that state because the judgment came. And yet, I want you to notice something, that it was the righteous influence in that city that would have preserved that city. I've heard people saying there's no hope for America. I've heard people saying there's no hope on the earth. I've heard people that fear ISIS more than they fear God. And yet I'm here to tell you there's a whole lot more than 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 in this room. This place alone could preserve this nation. And yet all over the world, there are millions upon millions of Christians that are the salt of the earth. We are the preservative. We are the ones who can stand in the gap. We are the ones who can stand and proclaim the word of the Lord. We can do it without fear, and we can do it with boldness. Why? Because we will be preserved. Everything can fall down around us, but I'm standing strong. I remember when the fires ripped through northern San Bernardino. You guys remember that? The old fire that couple years, right? Del Rosa and all those neighborhoods just were tore up. I remember there was a family in our church. We did a video on it and everything. And man, their fence was charred. Their grass on the edges, the tree, you know, some of the tree branches. But the house itself didn't even have the touch of fire on it at all. Let me tell you something. The word of God will preserve you in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the flood, in the midst of the famine. God will protect you. God will take care of you every day of your life. Last one for today. We talked about what is the power. What is the power of the covenant of salt? Number one, it was a purifying power. Number two, it was a preserving power. Last one for today. Last one for today is this: potency. Potency. I like this one. See, salt has a flavor, right? Salt is a savory item. You heard of the sweetness, right? Now, in that offering, if you read in Leviticus chapter number 2, you'll find out that the offering had specific things. It needed to be fine flour. It couldn't have any leaven. And it said you shouldn't offer it with any honey. Now, you know what that speaks of is the influence of the world, really. There is a passing pleasure of sin like the sweetness of honey that can come along, and that leaven, as it gets in there, it infiltrates the inside. In fact, you won't really find in the Bible, now a case could be made in the book of Matthew chapter 13, I guess a case could be made of the influence of the kingdom going in like leaven. But really, when you look throughout the Bible, you will find most of the time that leaven was looked down upon when it came to the things of God. They had to, before Passover, sweep all the leaven out of their house. What were they doing by doing that? They were saying they were getting the worldliness out of their lives. There was a purifying. And then what did they do? They had the Passover lamb. There was a preserving. But let me tell you something. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were potent. They were strong. They plundered Egypt on their way out. They were strong. There was a taste that was left in the Egyptians' mouths afterwards. Because why? They were the salt. And it's the same thing with Christians today. See, we are not to offer our lives with any leaven, any mixture of this world or the passing pleasure of sin. This is not just lip service to God. Oh, God, I love you. Oh, God, I praise you. Oh, God, you're so good. And then we go out and we live like the devil. Come on, somebody. This is not just bless the Lord, brother and sister, so-and-so, you know, and then we get out of here and we get in the car with our families and every foul word comes out of our mouth. No, we are to be an offering that is of fine flour, pure, with no leaven and no honey. This is not the passing pleasures of sin in our lives. When you bring your life to God, and yet he says, don't forget the salt. Make sure that you have that seasoning in yourself. You guys remember in Matthew chapter number five, verse number 13. Take a look at it with me. Matthew chapter 5, New Testament now, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. Look at the words of Jesus. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Everybody say, I am the salt of the earth. Maybe you didn't realize it, but you are that purifying agent on the earth. Maybe you didn't realize it, but you are that preserving agent here on the earth. But also, you are the flavor of the earth. Did you know that every scientific, artistic, every major thing as you look throughout history, most of the time, when you find cutting edge, groundbreaking, revolutionary, world-shaking ideas and things and new stuff that's taking place, when there's an explosion of art or science or anything like that, Christians, for the most part, are on the forefront. Now, the world's going to tell you, no, that's not true, but take a look. Take a look. Sir Isaac Newton, right? Christian. Just take a look in history, right? George Washington Carver, Christian. Okay, we could go on and on and on. We could be here all night talking about all of the godly men and women throughout history that were groundbreaking scientists, that were artists, that were revolutionaries, people who had wisdom in government. I mean, most of our founding fathers were godly men and women. And you can see that all throughout history. See, you are the salt of the earth. You are the flavor. You bring something to the table. You've got something that the world needs. You can change the atmosphere because you are the salt of the earth. But look at what he goes on to say. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. See, salt without its savor is like a Christian without Christ. Good for nothing. You know, if you have salt, if this didn't taste salty, you know what this would be? A rock, right? How about this, right? I got a salt shaker here. It has some rice in it so that it doesn't get wet or something like that. But if I had salt here, right? I got salt in my hand. If that had no flavor, what is that? Sand, right? Might as well go put this in the kids' play area so that they can go walk on it. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if this doesn't have any flavor, why are we carrying it around in little bottles like this? Okay, I got one more illustration. You guys got time for one more illustration tonight? Okay, if you didn't, too bad. Who else didn't have dinner tonight? Well, up in the back, you didn't have dinner? Do you like carrots? Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Run up here. Come on. All right, now I promise these came from my refrigerator tonight, okay? So these are good, and I had clean hands when I put them in here, all right? So I'm going to let you do a little taste test for me here, okay? What's your name?
Claudia.
Claudia, come on up here. Come on up here. Everybody say hi to Claudia. Here, Claudia, here, take the mic there, okay? Now, Claudia, I want you to reach in there and grab a carrot. Okay, not that one. I'm just kidding. You can have that one, okay? Take. See, she's hungry. She didn't have any dinner, so she is hungry, okay? How is that carrot?
Fresh?
Crunchy?
Tasty?
All right, go ahead. You can eat the rest of that carrot. Now, what's that? You want this one? I want to try something with you, okay? Is this all right? Have you ever had salt on a carrot before?
Mm-mm.
No? Are you interested to see what it does? Okay. I'm just going to give it just one little shake here, okay? Is that good? Maybe two? All right, three? How much salt do you like?
Enough.
Is that enough? Okay. All right. Claudia, go ahead. Okay, are you done with the first one?
No.
Okay, finish the first. Get it out of your system. Get the first one out of your system, okay? First one had no salt. All right, this one is seasoned with salt, okay? You got a clean palate? Okay?
I'm hungry. Yeah.
You're hungry. Okay, I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. You need to go see Laura with the beef jerky, okay? She'll hook you up, all right? She will take care of you. How is that with the salt on it?
It tastes better.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you say that into the microphone?
It tastes better.
It tastes better? Can carrots taste better? They can? A little bit of salt on it, right? I didn't put too much. It tastes good.
Perfect.
Look at that. Thank you, Claudia. You can go back to your seat. Wow. Who would have thought salt would make a carrot taste better? And yet, we see it right in front of ours right now. Claudia, did I get you before church service and tell you to say any of that? No. She was just hungry and came and was blessed with two carrots. See, we are the salt of the earth. We need to have a savor. We need to have a flavor. We need to have Jesus in every part of our life. We should be out there, and we should be making life better. It should be better. See, life can be life. Life can be average. Life can be boring, and you can plod along, and yet when you bring Jesus, when you bring that covenant of salt, now you got the promise of God. It's the word of God now, and you start sprinkling it all around. Everybody around that tastes, right? Take a little taste. You seen that commercial? My kids love the commercial. There's a rabbit trail, and I don't know why I'm going there, but I'm going to go there. You seen the Cinnamon Toast Crunch commercial? right? And there's two little pieces of Cinnamon Toast Crunch in the bottom of a cereal bowl with a little bit of milk around them, and the one just leans over and licks the other. Then he goes for a second lick, and the first one just chomps him up, right? We always joke that that's my son Micah. He licks everything. We're like, ah, that's Micah. He's licking his friend. But but see, when people come over and they taste your life, it should taste better than their life. See, because the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. And so when they see your life, they should look at your life and they should say, now, wait a second. They should be crying right now. Life is falling apart. Everything's going wrong. They're handing out pink slips on the job. Their neighborhood is having trouble. Things are going down. I saw the news this morning, and yet they come in here whistling a tune. What is that all about? And they taste, and they say, what's different about you? Why are you smiling? Why are you crazy? And you say, it's the Lord. Right? Shake a little salt out on them. Life is better with Jesus. Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 4 and 5, 3, 4, 5, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 4 and verse number 5. We'll end with this tonight. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 4, I'm sorry, 4, 5, and 6, 4, 5, 6. I got the wrong address. Sorry, one page over. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Look at this. Look what it says. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. When it says walk, it means live out your life. Live a life of wisdom with people who are outside. What is that? Outside of what? Outside of the covenant. Outside of the agreement. They are not in Christ. They are outside. So walk in wisdom. Live out your life with wisdom towards those that are not believers. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 6. Let your speech always be with grace. Look at the next words. Seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. That you may know how you ought to answer each one. Just like Claudia, our friend, just showed us how eating a carrot with salt made it taste better. You know, people, everybody's life is different. Everybody that you encounter is going to have a different background, a different story. They're going to have a different thing that's going on in their life. And as you come and you add the flavor, you add the seasoning to their life, it's going to come out, my goodness, that's rich, that's healthy, that's strong. Oh, my goodness, look at this. Look at what's going on over here. Remember one time I was in Amsterdam, I was on a mission trip, and we were there sharing Jesus. We did different ministries. We'd go to the major city squares, the city centers. We would put on a performance, sing, dance, all that kind of stuff. And then right afterwards, while we were doing the performance, a crowd would gather up, and our team would surround that crowd on the outside. And when we finished the crowd, we would say, ladies and gentlemen, we're finished with our presentation. We have some friends that would love to talk to you, and we'll be out here to talk to you as well. Now, when the people turned around to leave, there was our team ready to pounce on them, right, and share Jesus with them. And at the time, we were sharing with a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. God has a plan for your life. God loves you. Jesus went to the cross and died for you, and you can now have eternal life with him. Four simple principles that we shared with people. And I remember I had this guy that I was talking to. He came over, talked to me. My friend was praying for me as I shared Jesus with this man. And as I'm going through,